Blog Talk Radio.
I'm running away from this pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running away. You're in a toxic relationship. Turn to me.
From the Blog Talk Radio studios in Union City, New Jersey, this is Dating Today. I'm Fernando Uribe here and you there. This is the 7th of March, the year 2017. I want to thank you for joining here tonight from wherever and however you're listening. In this week's edition, ladies and gentlemen, of Dating Today is brought to you by the Mason Civic League. You can check out more information about this incredible local nonprofit by going to their website, www.masoncivic.org. You can contact their office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. by dialing 201-706-8088. Once again, 201-706-8088. You can also visit their office, 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. Now, for those of you that are not aware, the Mason Civic League was established in 2010 by former Hoboken Councilwoman Beth Mason and her husband Ricky Mason. And its mission was to assist community members and groups in need. They've been responsible for sponsoring programs and events to promote the arts, continue education, and activities for residents of all ages. Make sure you check them out on their social media. Always informative content on there each and every day. You can go again, make sure you like them on Facebook. Also follow them on Instagram and Twitter. Again, it is Women's History Month, and the Mason Civic League has been uploading very informative content on a daily basis, honoring a great woman each and every day during Women's History Month. So, again, check them out online. I also want to acknowledge your folks on the podcast, Son Cubano, a great local restaurant. You can check out their website and their menu, which is available online at www.soncubanonj.com. Now, Son Cubano is located conveniently at 40-4 Riverwalk Place along the waterfront in West Newark, New Jersey, minutes outside of the Lincoln Tunnel and the George Washington Bridge. It's also easily accessible via New Jersey Transit, New York Waterways, as well as grabbing an Uber or a Lyft. Son Cubano is right there. You can call their reservation hotline 7 days a week, 201-399-2020. Now, Son Cubano is one of New Jersey's premier award-winning restaurants, ladies and gentlemen, and it brings you just fantastic Cuban cuisine with a beautiful skyline to enjoy each and every day. So whether it's lunch, dinner, or any special occasion, call Son Cubano, again, their reservation hotline, 201-399-2020 today, and tell them Fernando Uribe sent you. Make sure you like them on Facebook and also follow them on Instagram and Twitter. I also want to acknowledge on the podcast here, ladies and gentlemen, Cromcakes.com. It's a great local media site. It's full of entertaining blogs, really, and it's just been fantastic because it just connects media with humanity and, of course, sprinkling some cromedy along the way. It is hosted by one of my dear friends, Miss Ashley Cromcakes. Check it out online by going to her website, www.cromcakes.com. That's K as in knife, R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. Don't forget to like her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, again, at Cromcakes, and also on Twitter at Cromcakes as well. I also want to acknowledge folks here on the podcast. Make sure you check out Rough Rehab, a wonderful local no-kill Northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter located at 360 Route 46 in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. You can dial them each and every day at 862-200-1447. Once again, 862-200-1447. 1447. Now, Rough Rehab is open to the public daily from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. Check out their website, www.roughrehab.org. That's RUFFREHAB.org. Make sure you like it on Facebook and also follow Rough Rehab on Instagram at Rough Rehab. Also, folks, I want to acknowledge here on the show as well, Facepalm Gaming, a great local site. Again, make sure you follow Facepalm Gaming on Twitter at gaming_palm. Also on Instagram at facepalmgaming311. Again, a wonderful site that you can also check them out online as well by going to twitch.tv/facepalmgaming. I can't say enough really about how outstanding of a website this is. It does stream content ranging from role-playing games all the way to first-person shooter games. And overall, it's an excellent online community for gamers, and it's a chance for gamers to exchange ideas and tips about the games that entertain each other on a daily basis. So again, make sure you check out and support Facepalm Gaming. Last but not least, folks, I also want to acknowledge here on the show and throw my support at Alla Vella Restaurant, a community located at 7709 Bergen Line Avenue, Bergen, New Jersey. Now, it's an upscale Italian cuisine restaurant with all of its products and all of its delicious cuisine, 100% made in Italy by celebrity chef Salvatore Alla Vella. You can check them out online on their Facebook page. Again, just look, check out facebook.com/Alla Vellas. You can also follow them, like them on Instagram, of course, at Alla Vella Restaurant. And don't forget to do that right away. This Friday, as a matter of fact, will be the grand opening of Alla Vella Restaurant in North Bergen. So make sure you stop by this Friday after 6 p.m. for the grand opening of Alla Vella Restaurant in North Bergen. Again, located 7709 Bergen Line Avenue in North Bergen, New Jersey. Again, check them out, facebook.com/Alla Vellas. And don't forget to follow them on Instagram at Alla Vella's Restaurant. Again, a special thank you to Alla Vella's, crumbcakes.com, Rough Rehab, Son Cubano, and of course, Facepalm Gaming, and last but not least, our dedicated sponsor, the Mason Civic League, for bringing you Gaming Today with Fernando Uribe. Folks, I also want to let you know you can call in toll-free tonight, 646-649-1926. Call in toll-free tonight. I want to hear from you, 646-649-1926. You can also write to the show's inbox, which is professorfuj@gmail.com. Once again, professorfuj@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at your_favorite_Fernando. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at TheGloriousFUJ. Well, folks, I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Again, the start of March. All my locals here in the New York, New Jersey area got to see a lot of fans of the show, actually, this weekend in Hoboken during Hoboken St. Paddy's Day. So that was quite an experience, as it always is. In the Mouse Square City, of course, you know, hanging out for Hoboken St. Paddy's, you know, Leprechaun in Hoboken. Always a very funny, interesting experience. It was nice to run into some fans of the show and having them tell me what they think of the show and how much they enjoyed and how much they, you know, really, you know, told their friends about it and how it's been beneficial. And that's what the show's about, folks. It's about helping all of you, whether you're single or in a relationship. It's about giving you the best advice possible on today's dating scene and also concerning relationships. So that's why you tune in every week. And I thank you for tuning in to Dating Today. Now, folks, I want to cover a topic on the show today that certainly a little personal for me. A buddy of mine, not going to name names, but a buddy of mine is about to be, I believe, recently single. He's about to get divorced. And first and foremost, my heart goes out to him because, you know, I know what it's like. I've been divorced for many, many, many years now. It's been quite some time since I was married. And I understand sort of the premise behind it. I understand sort of the mixed emotions that you have sometimes about, you know, having a marriage sort of dissolve and having two people that, you know, dedicate their lives to each other and taking vows and the fact that it's not going to work out can be very humbling, can be very unsettling. But by the same token, when the relationship has become toxic and it's become extremely unhealthy, it seems a little bit easier to walk away from that, as opposed to if you still love each other and maybe it's not working out, or one person still is in love with the other and it's not you know, reciprocated. I mean, that's, you know, certainly tragic, and certainly, you know, you don't like to hear any of that, of course. However, when the day comes that you're single again and you have to sort of throw yourself out there into the dating scene, you know, it can be terrifying for some of us. You know, it can be quite a sort of an earth-shattering experience. For many friends of mine that I, let's say, have been in relationships for many years or were married for some years and now they're single again, this is a completely different dynamic. It's a completely different environment to live in. It's a completely different type of scene to try to cope with. And it's not, it can be complicated. It can be overwhelming, I think, for a lot of us. I know that for some friends of mine that have been out of the dating scene, when they get back into it, it's surreal. It's a very much of a culture shock for them. And for me, you know, when I was married some many years ago, certainly there wasn't the advantage of dating apps. There wasn't the advantage of social media that there was. And not to, you know, I mean, not to say I'm an old man, but clearly we've seen social media take off in recent years and also dating apps. So it's been very different the way we look at the dating scene. Listen, let's be fair. It can be, I mean, quite daunting for anyone that's been, you know, quote unquote, out of the game for a while, you know, going out, meeting people at a happy hour or meeting people at a, you know, some sort of mixer or, you know, some sort of, you know, speed dating event. I mean, it's different. It's very different. It's not something that, you know, we all look at and can just approach and say, oh, you know, this is easy for us. You know, we don't have to worry about it. No, actually, it's something that quite frankly can be a lot for us. You know, it can be something that I think is, you know, it can be a little, you know, again, unsettling. I think it's something that, you know, we sit there and we think about what our choices are now and what we have to do and what we, you know, attempt to try to sort of, you know, understand what our role is now. You know, how do we try our best to, you know, make sense of what's out there? You know, dating can be tough, and it's not something that comes very easily to everybody. I can tell you, you know, at least for me and my experience, you know, I'm a very outgoing person. I can go anywhere and I can strike up a conversation with most people and I don't have a problem with that. And it's something that I'm very proud of, you know, having that sort of, you know, those sort of social skills I think are integral to the dating scene. And if you don't have them, again, I don't hope it's lost. You know, I don't want you to think, okay, you have to go to jump off a bridge or something. But understand that that's really half the battle, you know, being personable, being presentable, you know, being appealing in some way, I think is something that can really go a long way in helping you understand, you know, where you stand as an individual. And it can be something that is, you know, educational as well. And listen, one of the things that I wanted to cover with you, especially for those people that are newly single here on the podcast tonight. And first and foremost, you know, it's important about assessing how long you've been out of, you know, the dating scene. And more importantly, you know, how to know if you're really even ready to date again. And that's not always easy to understand. Now, I know maybe some of us, let's be honest, you know, have you been guilty of the following? Have we, let's say, checked in on your ex's Facebook account or any of his or her social media? Have you sat there sometimes maybe thinking one day you'll get back together, or perhaps, you know, you're comparing everyone you meet to like your ex? Or maybe you're holding out to the belief that all men are jerks and all women are bitches, for example, or you're still hanging out with your ex from time to time or their stuff is still at your place. Well, let's be very fair. You're not ready to start dating. You're just not. I think that there are some issues there that I think you have to sort of overcome. And I'll sort of, you know, I'll take them on one at a time. Listen, we live in a world where we have information at our fingertips and it's easily accessible. And when you break up with someone and you're no longer together, the fact that, you know, you had some sort of connection, let's say via social media, whether your significant other liked your posts, or commented on your post or anything. That's one thing, you know, if you had that. If you didn't, if you had a significant other who didn't really care what you posted and never liked your viewers or never liked a post, an article you referenced or never liked an event that you shared with people or they never liked a link that you uploaded for, let's say, something you produced or anything, whether it's a podcast or a video or a song or anything. I get that, you know, if that's the sort of rapport you have with your significant other where they don't really check in on your social media other than to, you know, sort of snoop and, you know, be the purveyor of lies there, as they say, then that's one thing. But even when you're not together anymore, if you find it within yourself to sort of completely detach from your ex, that's good. That's, I think, very illuminating. I think it's refreshing. I think it's therapeutic. I think if you're able to, you know, remove each other from your social media accounts, then that's great. Now, again, once you do that, I don't think it makes any sense to sort of, you know, add someone again. So if you, for example, if you've unfriended somebody and you decide to, you know, let some time pass, then you say, all right, you know what, I think I'm ready to add her again. No, don't do that. You know, if you made a point of unfriending your ex, whether it's on Facebook or unfollowing them on Instagram or Twitter, then don't follow them again. Don't add them. But if you, you know, if several weeks have gone by and now all of a sudden you feel the need to add your ex or send your ex a friend request on Facebook, don't do that. Like, there's no sense of it. I don't understand that, and I don't think it's healthy. And I've seen that, you know. I'm not guilty of that. I don't do that. I think it's, you know, I'll be consistent about it where, you know, if we're broken up and we're not together, then okay. And someone made a decision to drop somebody from their social media. Okay. Well, then let's stick to it. But, you know, first and foremost, you know, don't try not to get, you know, get out of the habit. If you make it a point to look at your ex Facebook account or your social media, well, then you're sort of doing yourself a disservice. You know, you're certainly not ready to date again. You know, another component here, I think also is, you know, if deep down you're hoping one day you'll get back together, well then again, that should tell you, you're not even ready to date again. You seem to still be hung up on him or her. And, you know, the reality is that sometimes, you know, things happen for a reason. I think sometimes adults, you know, find it within themselves to not, you know, not want to be together anymore. And sometimes some adults find it within themselves to, you know, decide that it's not healthy what's going on, that what, you know, exists currently isn't very good for them, isn't very good for each other. And I'll tell you, you know, listen, I'm someone that in my relationships, in my lifetime, when I have had to break up with a woman or a woman's breaking up with me or whatever, and we sit there and we think about, like, well, you know, should we get back together? Is it in our best interest to get back together? And the reality is that sometimes it's not. Sometimes, you know, you look at the potential of the reality that this person isn't good for you, that what you have with this person is toxic and it's not healthy. And, you know, if you're still sort of holding on or clinging to some glimmer of hope that, oh yeah, you know what, I think I'll be able to sort of get back with her or him and things will be better, you know, the reality is it won't be. And I'm sorry to sound, you know, very pessimistic and to sort of paint this doomsday scenario for you, but it's the absolute truth. You know, if you're trying to figure out whether or not you're ready to date and you're still hung up on your ex, sorry. That's, you know, you have to do one or the other. You either feel you have to be ready or you have to, like, sort of either try to work it out, or, you know, if you're still having feelings for this person and you have this hope, That's not gonna work. You know, another component here I think it's important to figure out, folks, is if you're comparing everyone you meet now to your ex, and the reality is that that is extremely unhealthy. I know that in my lifetime, you know, when I've dated different women, they've all been different for certain reasons, and I think that when why they dissolved in terms of the relationship, and they all dissolved for different reasons, and the fact is that when you go into meeting someone new, I think you have to go into it with a very positive attitude. I think you have to be open-minded. I think it's easy to feel jaded about your past relationship or relationships. And certainly it's easy to become cynical and to just sort of look down on dating and not approach it with a very healthy mindset, or to be proactive about, you know, hey, trying to find the right fit for you. The reality is that every single person you meet is going to be very different. And having to sit there and compare and contrast whether him or her, you know, matches up to your ex, no, that's not the case. I know when I've gone out dating and I've been dating, that I don't sit there and think about, like, all right, well, this girl, you know, has A, B, and C, and she didn't have D, E, F from the previous girlfriend. No, like, that's unhealthy. Like, that's so unproductive, because it takes away from the moment. It takes away from the fact that maybe you're meeting someone really, really great, and you're not giving her, him or her a chance, because you seem sort of fixated on what your ex had in terms of qualities, and, like, maybe those, some of those qualities is what you're still looking for. Certainly, you don't want the bad, but you want some of the good. It doesn't work out that way, folks. I think when you go out and meet someone new, you know, just approach it as a new venture. Approach it as a new investment of time. And I think that's the best way that you can sort of cope with not dealing with an ex, you know, and not thinking about them. I think it's unfair to you. I think it's unfair to the new person you're dating to have these sort of expectations where if your ex did A, B, and Z for you, that you're expecting the new girl or guy to be the same way. No, that's not the case. That's not healthy. And I would really urge my listeners tonight to sort of take that into consideration, because it's not going to be beneficial for you. You know, moving on now, again, sort of the premise of that many people sometimes after breakups, they become very cynical. They become very pessimistic. And quite frankly, they become very sort of develop this awful attitude about the opposite gender. And, you know, listen, the fact is that not all men are jerks, and not all men are bitches. That's just the truth. They're not. I think there's always bad apples in every bunch. I think it's one of those elements that we have to sort of take on a case-by-case basis. And it's important to not fall into that cynical mindset where you're being so negative and you're being so judgmental or being suspicious of others. You can't do that. That's not a healthy way to sort of approach dating. It just isn't. And right there, if you find yourself, you know, if you catch yourself in these behaviors, well, I'm sorry. The reality is you're not ready to date. I think you need to sort of take time to yourself and assess where you're standing, to be honest. And the last one here, really, I mean, this I think is sort of a no-brainer, but if you're still hanging out with your ex from time to time, you know, booty calls or something, or late night drunk texts, or let's say their stuff is at your place still, well, then that's a problem. And I think that that's probably a behavior that you have to address, and that you have to make a point of not reaching out to an ex, let's say when you're out with your friends drinking and you're feeling a little nice and you're feeling nostalgic and you miss your ex and you're like, let me give him or her a call and let's see if they want to come over, and you have sex. And well, guess what? You know, that momentary, you know, satisfaction you're feeling about having them over and, you know, you're getting laid, that's great, okay, for your libido. Problem is when you wake up the next morning and they're still there, the problems that existed concerning your breakup are still also going to be there. And that's not going away. So that momentary lapse in judgment about just, you know, because you're horny and you kind of can't contain, you know, cannot contain yourself, well, that's something you have to address. And I think it's about developing some willpower. It's about not falling for the temptation of wanting to see your ex, and again in that realm, and then of course, you know, if there's still stuff at your place that belongs to your ex, well, that could be a problem. Now, I mean, again, that's I think easily fixable. I think if you're capable of taking everything that you have of him or her and putting it in a box and just putting it aside somewhere, at some point, you know, either your ex will want it back, and you can either find some sort of way where you can drop it off without having to see him or her. Or, you know, I mean, again, I would never go to the extreme of throwing stuff out, per se. I mean, unless a good amount of time has passed and, you know, you know you're never going to see them again, then sort of, you know, I would sort of go with the latter than the prior. But, you know, if you have clothes of her laying around or clothes of him laying around, put it aside somewhere. Put it in a drawer that you know you're not going to use, and just leave it there. And at some point in time, when you decide that, you know, a good amount of time has passed and you're not going to see him or her again, well, guess what? Then it's time to dispose of it. You know, I remember back in, a prior relationship back in 2013 that dissolved right around the holiday season in December. Yeah, in 2013. And I remember that it was a really ugly ending. It was very sour. And some months went by where there were still clothes at my house. There was a suitcase of clothes that were still there. And there were also sort of like a box of her materials from grad school that were there. And, you know, things didn't end very harmoniously between us. And, you know, it was one of those things that I'm like, okay, well, you know, at some point, you know, these things are going to matter to her and she's going to want them back. And we're going to have to find a way to sort of be adults. And either I drop it off to her or, you know, and we find a way to be adults. That's it. That's the bottom line. And I remember that early on, I think in the following year, right around, I think maybe February, we had decided to sort of meet where I would just give her her suitcase and that'd be the end of it. And I remember that that she had asked me to keep a box of hers in my storage, in the back storage closet, with just old books and old term papers and everything that she had from grad school. And the funny thing was that it was interesting because I think as the early part of that year went on, we had run into each other a good amount of times and we had some arguments and we ended up, you know, running into each other and being very hostile. And I remember it's sort of like in my mind, I was like, all right, well, I have this box laying around. And I remember it was just one of those things where it was just like, it was meant to happen. And it was just sort of like, I guess, the universe working in my favor. And I remember being there and looking through this box and saying, all right, well, there's stuff that, I mean, number one, I have to sort of get rid of this box at some point. And it was right around the summertime. I'll never forget this. Really funny. I remember now, I even reminded her about it. I think when we exchanged texts, and we were like just at each other's throats via text message about something. And I said, you know what, let me just drop this bomb on her. And it was priceless because I knew it got to her. And I remember going through the box and seeing a whole bunch of textbooks that she had used from grad school. And I remember she kept them for a reason because she liked the books. And she, I think, was looking to keep them for her own, you know, for her own review and stuff like that and her term papers. And the funny thing was that, you know, I was going to Vegas that summer. I remember right around 4th of July, I was going to Vegas with a buddy of mine. And this is about a couple of weeks before. And sure enough, I found a whole bunch of textbooks in this huge, huge moving box. It was a pretty big box, like one of those like extra large boxes you see at Home Depot, you know, cardboard, you know, whatever. And sure enough, I went through them. I went online. And can I tell you, I easily got an extra almost $200 of spending money to go to Vegas. And it was great. I was laughing hysterically when that happened. I remember, you know, going through the box and saying, wow, okay, you know what? Jesus loves me. Jesus clearly wants me to win here. And clearly the universe is on my side and not hers. And sure enough, I remember just, oh, it was fantastic. It was great. I remember taking the books, mailing them in, and getting the check in the mail. And I'll never forget, you know, taking a picture of the check right before I deposit it. I'm like, hey, thanks for the Vegas money, honey. And it was priceless. Now, was it petty? Yeah, maybe a little bit. Was it brilliant? Absolutely. I think it was a great way to get back at her, to be honest. And I loved every minute of it. I remember being in Vegas, and I think every time I, you know, went to buy a drink or I was at Margaritaville, and I ordered a margarita. I'm like, hey, here you go. And I looked at my buddy. I'm like, oh, here's to this bitch right here, you know, courtesy of her. And it was funny, you know, it was funny sitting there and just, you know, doing that. But I remember that leading up to that point with the box, I said, well, you know, this box is just occupying space here. I don't have any desire to reach out to her. I don't have any desire to return any of this stuff to her. So, you know, yeah, whatever wasn't serviceable and whatever wasn't available for me to sell, I decided to, you know, throw away, and I felt at peace with it. it's not something I could have done maybe 6 months prior to that, because the end of the relationship was still very fresh in my mind, and the wound was still very, you know, I was still healing from the wound. So it was something that I wasn't exactly going to be able to do right away. However, in time, it's important that, you know, you find your ability to heal by getting rid of that stuff and disposing of it. Now, listen, I can't begin to tell you when that right time is. And only you will know when it's, you know, that perfect opportunity where you moved on emotionally and having these things no longer matter to you. Whether it's clothes, whether it's picture frames, whether it's items you received as gifts, you know, there comes a certain point that, you know, you're going to figure out what to throw away and what not. Listen, I'll be very honest with you. I think that throughout the years, there are some things that, quite frankly, I've disposed of when it comes to looking at, you know, my ex or exes. Are there some sweatshirts and hoodies that I've had over the years that were given to me by my ex? Yes. And they're beautiful and they're wonderful. And quite frankly, I can never get rid of them because they're too nice. And not because I'm sort of on her and you know, I can't let her go emotionally. It's just, they're too nice of items to let go of. And I wouldn't want to do that. Like, it's, you know, I look at more at the gift. I tend to sort of forget about who it's from and just look at how nice the gift is. You know, have I received some frames from teams of mine that I like? And yeah, sure, I still have them around. I have a frame in my house, a customized frame that was given to me about the Dallas Cowboys and things of that nature. And that was given to me some years ago. As a matter of fact, it was given to me about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I'm not hung up on my ex of that time, but it's such a nice gift. I can't find it within myself to dispose of it. Not because I'm holding on to some fantasy of getting back together with her. No, the contrary. I mean, that's been done for some time, and I'm more than at peace with it. But it's a nice item, and I really don't want to dispose of it because that's just being petty. It's a nice item. So I don't get rid of those things. Now, when it comes to, you know, some things like cologne, which I really don't like to use because it's not really healthy for you. It can sort of, you know, bring about, you know, sort of asthmatic episodes as you get older. Not really. I sort of just get rid of those. But, you know, it's only, you know, what's the right thing to keep for yourself. But in terms of anything of your significant other at your house, I mean, it's a judgment call. You know, you have to sit there and sort of look at, you know, whether or not you want to, you know, go through that, and whether or not you want to, you know, sit there and, you know, sort of sort out what's not. And if you find yourself, you know, capable to, you know, meet up with your ex and sort of give these items back, well, then you can do that, I think, in a civil way. More times than not, I would recommend you just sort of drop off the box and just say, listen, I'll be over in a certain amount of time. I'll drop off the box. You don't have to come downstairs. I'll leave it by your door. And that's it. You know, you don't have to sort of broadcast when you get there. Just drop it off and move out. And that's it. Leave. You don't have to get to sit there and wait for your ex to come out and talk. And no, that's it. Like, you know, if that's what time allows for, then just leave the box there and that's it. And let this person sort of sort it out on their own. I think that's probably the most therapeutic way to sort of to cope with something like that. Now, what I just shared with you right now is, again, you know, if you're feeling any of the aforementioned, then clearly you're not ready to date. But if, and there's some big components here, I sort of want you to listen tonight. If, number one, if you feel comfortable alone for the most part, and you don't feel, you know, you need a relationship to make you happy, and you're content, let's say, with being with yourself until the right one comes along, then this, there is a significant indicator that you are ready to start dating. One of the things, and I can tell you this much, I know that early on in my life, probably in my 20s, one of the biggest things I always feared about relationships, and of course breaking up and then being single, was being alone. And that really bothered me because I think that, and again, I think that was due more to the fact of being immature and not being emotionally mature in terms of how to cope with myself. But if you feel comfortable by yourself, if you feel comfortable, you know, being alone, then that's a good thing. Now, listen, do we all get lonely? Absolutely. And I think we could all say that we can be lonely from time to time. But if you feel comfortable being alone, if you feel comfortable, you know, going to a birthday party without a hot girl next to you, and just showing up by yourself, that's fine. I think that's therapeutic. If you're able to, you know, go food shopping or go to the mall and you don't feel the need, you have to have someone there next to you, because it's like, if you don't, you feel like you'll undergo some panic attack. No, if you feel comfortable being alone and you feel comfortable that you don't have to sort of just jump into a relationship right then, then you're genuinely happy. And that's a good thing, because that sort of emotional health is going to contribute to you being ready to date again. And that's something that you really need. I think you need to be sort of emotionally healthy. I think you need to be emotionally happy. And more so, I think you have to also feel ready. I think you have to feel ready to fail again, if possible, because that's what happens sometimes with dating. You know, you're not always going to find the right one. And sometimes you fail. And there are oftentimes folks that you're going to fail and fail and fail and fail. And you have to keep getting up. You have to get out of bed. You have to go out, enjoy the day, appreciate every single day as if it's your last, and approach dating with that same healthy mindset. And you know what? At some point, the right one will come along, or the right one that you think is for you will come along. And it'll happen. It just will. I'm confident of that. That's something I stick to and I live by every day. And I'm hoping that you do too. Another important element here, that in terms of, you know, knowing that you're ready to start dating, is that, you know, let's say you've had enough time to grieve your personal relationship. And that's always tricky, because only you know how much time you need. You know, let's say you've taken the time you need to feel those feelings from your breakup, and that you've indeed have moved forward. And listen, we all grieve differently. We all grieve very differently. And the way that we look at is, my buddy's always saying, you know, Fernando, I think, is like the Wolverine when it comes to like healing about relationships. I mean, the guy is like Wolverine. And, you know, it's sort of a funny compliment, and it's nice, you know, it's flattering to hear that from my buddies and even some of my female best friends too. But I'm human, you know, and I think there are moments that maybe I don't show my cards and I don't display how unhappy I am or how sad I am or how distraught I feel. You know, I've learned over the years to not necessarily hide it well, but to manage it well. And I remember a few years back, one of my past relationships, you know, it ended very badly. And, you know, it hurt. You know, it hurt because I really loved her. I felt that I was still very much in love with her. And it didn't work out. And it was tragic. And I felt myself, you know, not going into a tailspin. I wasn't engaging in any self-destructive behavior. I wasn't being suicidal or anything. I was very sad. And I remember, not on the verge of depression, but I remember being, you know, very unhappy. And I felt that I needed time to grieve, because it really hit me hard. And it was even worse. It was right around the holiday season. You know, we had spent the previous Christmas together and the previous New Year's together. And knowing that wasn't going to happen this year was very unsettling for me. And I remember taking a few months to heal. Yeah, sure, I went out with my buddies and I went out on dates. And yeah, you know, I sort of went through my phone book and recycled some girls that I knew and went to hook up with them and everything. It was fine. And that was, I think, therapeutic to some extent. But there was a good amount of months, I think, that it took for me to get over her, and that was fine. But I knew once I was over her, I was able to, you know, be practical and be productive and be, you know, happy once again. And that takes some time. And again, I don't want to ever sit here, folks, and lecture anybody about, well, you know, it's, you know, what's the right time to heal? How do we do it? And the fact is that only you know that. Only you know that. So take as much time as you think you need, because you have to be ready. You have to be, you know, you have to sort of take those feelings away from your breakup and know that you're in your heart, you're ready to move forward. And the last thing really that I think is important to know whether or not you're ready to start dating is, you know, are you emotionally available? Have you gone past holding any resentment or strong feelings for your ex at all. And I think that those are crucial, because when you're emotionally available and you're emotionally ready, it's going to be fundamentally easier for you to go out there and meet someone and not be distracted because you're thinking about your ex. And the second part of this, I think, is a little difficult. I think we all handle this differently. So again, it's sort of a case-by-case basis. But sometimes, you know, we can still hold some resentment towards our ex about what's happened. I think even some years later, it's not strong. It's not something that overwhelms me. But do I still have some resentment over some previous exes? Yeah, I do. I'm human. I'd be lying to you, ladies and gentlemen, if I told you I wasn't. And I've never lied to you on this show, and I don't want to. Have I held some resentment? Absolutely. Has it stopped me from being productive and trying to have a healthy relationship again with somebody else? No, of course not. But it's important to be emotionally available. I think that is pivotal for you when it comes to knowing whether or not you're ready to date again. I mean, folks, again, you know, listen, tonight I want to hear from you again. Don't forget, 646-649-1926. Again, 646-649-1926. If you want to call in, want to share your story about when you knew it was ready to date again, please, I want to hear from you. And again, so sort of, you know, moving forward now in terms of, now that we've understood exactly the parameters, you know, whether or not you're ready to start dating again. Now, what I really want to share with you is how to start dating again. And first and foremost, I think it's important to sort of, you know, make a list of what you're looking for in a partner. Now, again, the list may have changed now because you've gone through a breakup. And, you know, the reality is that you have to be realistic. I think write down everything you're looking for. And while you're there, make a list of what you are going to bring to your next partnership. I think it's important. I think as we get older, we should know what we like. We should know what we want. And, you know, be realistic in what we're expecting. Be realistic in what you want out of a relationship. If you're not ready to date again and you just want to date casually and you just want to date multiple women or guys and just juggle them, that's fine. I've done that. And I, you know, I've slept very well at night. I don't have any sort of, you know, crisis of conscience with it. That's fine. I'm not saying that that's what I'm advocating for you. But the reality is that if and when you know you want to start dating again, or you meet someone new and you're trying to sort of figure out who they are, you know, find out exactly what you're looking for in a partner. You know, list those qualities. Same thing for yourself. You know, what do you bring to the table? Not always about trying to dissect and analyze what the other person brings, but, you know, try to dissect about what you bring to the table and see how good of a candidate you are, as opposed to, like, the type of candidate that you're looking for. You know, another tip here, folks, I think that'll be very helpful for you. Not always. It depends. I think it also depends on the friends you have. But it's enlisting your friends. I think asking your friends to go out with you and, you know, just sort of being out in public puts you in the proximity to meet new people and potentially, who knows, maybe your future partner. Listen, there's nothing wrong with asking your friends if they have any great single friends that they could set you up with. I think sometimes, listen, your friends can be great matchmakers because they know you and they know your past relationships and they know what you like, they know what you don't like, and they know what you're capable of, and they know exactly the type of person that maybe is right for you. I've had friends of mine tell me that, and I've had friends of mine try to set me up on some dates and play matchmaker. And by the same token, I've done the same thing for my friends who are newly single, and I've tried to play matchmaker as well. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think that our friends know what we like. I know my friends have a fundamental grasp of what I like in a woman, not just the physical, but the interpersonal, the intellectual, everything. And, you know, they understand that. And when they've tried to recommend women to me, sometimes it hasn't worked. Sometimes it has. And by the same token, I've had sort of a mixed success rate. You know, sometimes I haven't recommended the best women, and sometimes I have. So I think, you know, getting your friends involved to some extent. I mean, you know, I'm not saying like an overindulgence, but I think that it's, you know, your inner circle matters. I think that the input of your inner circle, I think, is very important. Now, again, I think it's, you know, crucial to sort of understand that what, you know, the type of people you have in your inner circle. Like, are they genuinely good people? Are they intelligent people? I remember with my most recent ex, you know, sitting down, and I think one of the funny things about dissecting friendships was I know that she was not a fan of my friends. She was extremely judgmental of them, and that was probably one of the things I didn't like about her. And I think that, you know, it became very transparent to everybody around her that she was being this way. But by the same token, too, I think it was kind of funny when we sat down and dissected Friends. Like, I didn't like her friends either. I think her friends were a bunch of old women that were just miserable. And, well, I mean, they weren't very attractive to begin with. So, I mean, I can understand that from my ex's perspective, yes, it was advantageous to her to hang out with them because she stood out and she, you know, rose above them. Let's be honest. You know, her friends were just pretty busted looking. And the reality was that, you know, that served a great purpose for her. It allowed her to sort of be the catch in that crew. And, you know, and that was fine, you know, whatever. I mean, sometimes you can't, you know, we're not always about picking good-looking friends. And that's not always the mission. I mean, I don't think you want to just make your friendships superficial because I don't think you want to make your relationships superficial. But the reality is, I think, you know, you have to sort of be careful which friends you enlist in this mission, you know, in terms of trying to, you know, play matchmaker and set you up with someone that maybe will be better for you. So think about that as well. You know, at the same time, you know, a couple other tips here I think that are very important, folks, is, you know, you want to take it slow. You know, you want the right one for you and not just another breakup situation. You know, so take your time, take it slow. You know, use this time to meet lots of new people and have fun. You know, listen, dating is about having fun. And I think a lot of people today in today's scene forget that. Like, they feel like you have to force it and you're on a mission for a husband and wife. And if that's the case, you've missed the point completely. You're not going to meet the right person by forcing, and you're certainly not going to be a fun date if the other person feels like they're being interviewed for your next husband or wife slot. No, that's not the case. As much as you can, just go with the flow. The right person will come in for you when you just let things fold organically. That's the truth. That really is the truth. You know, certainly, listen, you want to be persistent. If you like someone, don't be wishy-washy about it. Don't send out mixed signals. If you like someone and you like spending time with someone, you know, reach out to her or him, you know, let them know how you feel. Let them know that if you like their company, that you want to see them again. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think there's a point about doing that and then sort of forcing things by trying to, like, make it seem like you're on a mission for a husband and wife right now. And that's not the case. I think you want to sort of have fun, get to know people, get to, you know what they're about. And that's what's fun about dating. It's, you know, for better or for worse, folks, it's an experiment. And more often than not, it can be a fun one. So think about that, you know. At the same time, and lastly, I think, too, also, you know, go online if that's something that maybe you haven't done before. Go online and sort of experiment with some of these, you know, new dating avenues, you know. You never know where you're going to find and meet a partner. You know, it's important to sort of, you know, be open to trying new things. And that's critical for you. Again, you know, not to say that, you know, dating apps can be a little tricky because for the most part, I think we've been preconditioned to believe that dating apps are nothing more than glorified hookup sites where you go on them and you go on a date and more likely you're going to hook up with him or her because that's sort of what these dating apps have been reduced to, whether it's Tinder, whether it's Bumble or some new ones I've heard about. Some friends of mine have told me about, I think one's called Happen, or I think another one's called Coffee and Bagel or something, I'm not sure. Or whether it's J-Date or, you know, Christian Singles or, you know, Bernie Singles, God forbid, or even Trump Singles too. You know, it's, yes, dating apps are great and online dating is wonderful because it allows you to sort of maybe figure out a profile that you like and what you're looking for. But by the same token, be cautious. Understand that maybe not everyone's intentions are genuine. Maybe while you're thinking about meeting someone of quality and maybe looking to meet someone that you connect with, some people are just out there to just sort of hook up and it's a numbers game. So, you know, think about that at the same time. And I think tonight, folks, you know, really, you know, in summary, I think it's important that you approach dating in a very healthy perspective. And as I said, you know, for those of you tonight that are newly single, understand that you're not alone. There are thousands upon thousands of men and women just like you that are in the same situation. And listen, not all hope is lost. Don't think you have to be, you know, that you're some sort of pariah or that you're some sort of, it's one of those things that it's important to, you know, have an open mind. It's important to, you know, approach it, I think, in a way that is productive. And like, listen, like I said, you know, sort of going back to the previous, you know, elements I mentioned before, you have to be emotionally ready, folks. You have to sort of, you know, grieve appropriately, of course, and you have to feel comfortable. You really have to. You have to be comfortable by yourself. If you can stay busy and productive and be, you know, pragmatic in the way you approach dating, that's great. You know, part of the reason, well, part of the allure about dating again is you get to meet new people. Go out, you know, go out with friends. I'm not saying go out to like speed dating events or go out to mixers, but just, you know, put yourself out there, you know, be personable, you know, look your best, you know, dress up a little bit, look sharp, you know, be the type of person that, you know, you'd want to meet, you know, and, you know, put your best foot forward. And again, if you're not confident about your appearance, that's okay. There are things you can do about that. You can maybe dress a little bit better. Maybe you can clean up a little bit, whatever the case may be. Be comfortable being yourself. You know, if you're a good looking person, hey, go with it. You know, if you're blessed with good looks, I mean, you know, I am, so I mean, I don't have to really worry about it, but you know, go out there and just, you know, do what you can, you know, be charming, be personable, you know how to hold a conversation, be knowledgeable, you know, be ready to talk about anything with anyone at any time, and just be someone that isn't pretentious or confrontational or argumentative. Just, you know, be someone that's easy to get along with. And I think that when you take all these qualities and you go out into the dating scene again, you're going to be able to date successfully. And sooner or later, that right person's going to come along. You just have to sort of let things, again, materialize organically. And when you do, ladies and gentlemen, trust me, your dating coach here will be vindicated. And listen, I hope that you call up the show or write to the show. I mean, I've received tons of emails throughout my time hosting this podcast where people have found my show to be invaluable to them and has been very, very productive. So again, for anyone that missed any portion of tonight's podcast, again, you can always listen to it free of charge from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/datingtoday. It's a great, great resource for you. You can tell your friends again about the best 30 plus minutes of commercial-free dating advice available anywhere online each and every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Now, again, I want to just thank my sponsors here again on the show. I want to thank my main sponsor, the Mason Civic League. Folks, again, check out this wonderful local nonprofit by going to www.masoncivic.org. You can contact their office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. p.m. Eastern Standard Time, of course, by dialing 201-706-8088. You can also visit their office, which is located at 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. You can speak to the office manager, Ms. Tanya Garcia, that is there. Great people, and she'll definitely help you out. And again, for those of you that are not aware, ladies and gentlemen, the Mason Civic League is a great local nonprofit established back in 2010 by former Hoboken Councilwoman, the distinguished Beth Mason, and her husband, Richard. And its mission has been to assist community members and all groups in need in the nearby area. Of course, they've sponsored programs and events to promote the arts, continuing education, and activities for residents of all ages. They have a great gallery this month in honor of Women's History Month, so definitely check it out online by going to their website, masoncivic.org. Don't forget, also, make sure you follow them on Instagram and Twitter, again, at @Mason_Civic_League, and also on Twitter, @TheMasonCivic. And don't forget to like them on Facebook. I also want to acknowledge folks here on the show as well. Son Cubano Restaurant, a great local restaurant here in West York, New Jersey. And you check out their website and their menu specifically by going to www.soncubanonj.com. Now, Son Cubano is located at 40-4 Riverwalk Place, again, along the waterfront in West York, New Jersey, just minutes outside the Lincoln Tunnel and the George Washington Bridge. Also accessible via New Jersey Waterways, New Jersey Transit, and you can grab an Uber or Lyft and be there in no time. Again, for any lunch, dinner, or any special occasion, call 201-399-2020. Again, 201-399-2020. Tell them Fernando Uribe sent you, and they'll take care of you at this amazing venue. I also want to acknowledge folks on the podcast here tonight. Cromtix.com, a great local media site. It's full of entertaining blogs, and it's really just fantastic because it connects media with humanity. And it sprinkles some comedy along the way. Again, it's hosted by my wonderful dear friend, Ms. Ashley Cromkicks. You can check out her website, www.cromkicks.com. It's K as in knife, R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. Also, folks, I want to acknowledge on the program here, Rough Rehab, a great local no-kill Northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter. located at 360 Route 46 in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. And you can call them each and every day. It's open to the public daily from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. You can call them 862-200-1447. Again, 862-200-1447. If you want to get in contact with Rough Rehab, again, check them out online, www.roughrehab.org, R-U-F-F-R-E-H-A-B.org. Make sure that follow them on Instagram and Twitter, and also like it on Facebook. Folks, I also want to acknowledge here Facepalm Gaming, a wonderful site here. You definitely want to check them out. Follow them on Twitter at gaming_palm. Don't forget also to follow them on Instagram at facepalmgaming311. Check out their channel online, twitch.tv/facepalmgaming311. It does indeed stream content ranging from RPGs, which are role-playing games, to first-person shooter games. It's overall just a wonderful online community for gamers, and it's a chance to exchange ideas and tips about the games that entertain each other. Again, thank you to Facepalm Gaming. Last but not least, I also want to send a shout-out to Olivello Restaurant, folks, located at 7709 Bergen Line Avenue in North Bergen, New Jersey. Their grand opening is this Friday. You definitely want to check them out this Friday. Again, 7709 Bergen Line Avenue in North Bergen. Make sure you check them out on their Facebook page and like it, facebook.com/Olivellas, O-L-I-V-E-L-L-A-S. Don't forget to follow them on Instagram, Olivello Restaurant. Now, for those of you that are aware, Olivella is indeed New Jersey's new hidden gem. It's an upscale Italian cuisine restaurant with 100% made-in-Italy masterpieces made daily by celebrity chef Salvatore Olivella. So I'll tell you, it's great food there. I've checked it out in terms of its construction right now. A wonderful venue. You definitely want to check it out, folks. A great new local business in County. Again, 7709 Bergen Line Avenue in North Bergen, New Jersey. And their premiere and their grand opening is indeed this Friday, so definitely check them out. So again, special shout out to Olivella Restaurant, Facepalm Gaming, CrimeKicks.com, Rough Rehab, Son Cubano, of course, my dedicated sponsor, the Mason Civic League, and I thank them all for supporting the best 30-plus minutes of commercial-free dating advice available anywhere online. That's right, folks, you guessed it. It's Dating Today with Fernando Uribe. Good night, West New York, New Jersey. My hometown, here in Hudson County. And as always, don't forget, folks, each and every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you're listening to the best dating advice you'll find anywhere online. You can listen to from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. It's always Dating Today, Fernando Uribe. I'll see you next week, folks. As always, stay classy, everyone.
I'm running away from the pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running away.